This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Bowl & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to bowlandbranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an outstanding day. It's time for the NFL Draft Big Board Report. The player I most want to fall to 17. I mean, obviously I'd want Chase Young to fall to 17, but a somewhat realistic player to fall to 17 here for the Cowboys and get themselves an awesome player at 17 to be Javon Kinlaw, South Carolina defensive tackle. He was asked about how coaching can help him once he gets to the NFL. Here we go.
I haven't really even scratched the surface with my pass rush. A lot of the times, I just be out there bull rushing, just walking guys back. So I feel like once I get that right coaching, you know, it's sky's the limit.
Shots fired at his coaches at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Sky's the limit, he said. But it blows me away at every position to hear the rookies talk when we get out there to Oxnard. We interview the rookies. It's so interesting. You've been playing football since you're 22, 23 years old. Why can't these guys get access to better coaching, Brian? Why are they showing up like, yeah, I've just been relying on athleticism to get 10 sacks and 15 tackles for loss a year?
You know, in general, I think a lot of times where the limitation of the number of hours that coaches get to spend with these players, there was a time when I played college football when it was an all-day job. And now there's the limit of the amount of time that these coaches can spend. So you don't have a lot of practice time. You don't have that opportunity to get out there and get the drills all squared away, though. That's a defensive-minded head coach there at South Carolina. And to hear Kinlaw say that, though, that's a little bit of alarming right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, I could see how – well, how do some players arrive finished products like the Boses? You know, they have like veterans –
Mom and dad.
Oh, it's camp kids.
Yeah.
The kids that go to the sports
it's
camps
mom
all summer.
Mom and dad are just together. They had kids that are that talented. Oh. I mean, it's genetics.
Oh, it's genetics.
Yeah,
it's
genetics.
The DNA.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just mom and dad.
I thought you were talking about like mom and dad saying, okay, Junior,
no,
here's our plan to the NFL.
I should have been more specific there. No, mom
no,
and dad.
You're good.
Yeah. Dad was a successful, well, not successful player, but he was a first round pick at one time. But yeah, genetics plays a lot into that.
As far as the Cowboys coaching, what do you think Jim Tomsula can bring to the table on the Cowboys defensive line?
I've been with Jim Tomsula. One of his first jobs was with NFL Europe, and that was way back in the day. And Jim was always one of those guys he's a hard-nosed guy. He's really hands-on. He gets down there. He gets dirty with the players and stuff like that. They respect him. He's a big technique guy. He's going to do everything he can to wear these guys out as far as, hey, you've got to play with technique. Look at the improvements that the 49ers, I mean, we talk about the guys with the 49ers. That's a lot of his guys that he drafted and things like that, coached along the way. They've improved. So, yeah, Jim Tomsula to me would be it's going to be a very nice fit from the technical aspect of rushing the passer, using technique, not just being a one-trick pony. Get up the field, attack with your hands, pull, rip, dip, whatever you have to do. Get on the quarterback.
And Marinelli was more get to the edge.
Marinelli was more of a get to the edge guy. Attack, be up the field, be disruptive. I think you'll see even more drills, more of how of hand use with Tomsula. And Coach Marinelli had techniques and things like that I thought were very good the way he taught. But
go. Get up field,
get up field, yeah. But I think Tomsula's a little bit different about body position and all that.
Well, Kinlaw's a beast and a man child. If there's any way he falls and is working with Tomsula in Oxnard, that would be a terrific development. And Mike McCarthy yesterday saying, you know, he's going to put a big emphasis on the defensive line, wants 4 defensive tackles, 6 defensive ends. That's pretty standard, isn't it? Isn't that how that's
10 D linemen?
10 D linemen, yeah. That is. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool backstory here on TCU defensive tackle Ross Blacklock. You guys
he's
see
a good
his,
one.
His bio or anything?
He's a good one. I could totally see him being picked in the first round, but he's one of those guys that we'd probably love to see make it to about pick 51.
NFL reporter Jordan Reed tweeting. I didn't know this, even though he plays at TCU, but his dad is the most influential person in his life, he writes. He was the first African-American basketball player at the University of Texas.
Yes.
And he also is a former player for the Harlem Globetrotters and now coaches the squad.
Coaches, yeah.
They were just in town the other night, the Globetrotters were.
Oh, nice. Nice. So, I used to go see them all the time.
Oh, yeah. It's the best when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Much rather go watch them than an NBA game up until about age 14 or so. I wanted the tricks and put on the show.
They made that other team look so stupid.
Yeah. Washington Generals, that was a tough go for them.
Those Generals needed help. Were they not trying? Because I know they won once.
That guy was a loser as a coach, though.
You can't have guys just putting the ball around behind your head, and you can't do that. You got to be better.
There were some questionable calls in that game. Cuban would be a little upset with that referee.
It's clearly traveling on the call, sir. Okay, a story in The Athletic here in our NFL draft big board report. The Patriots story, as of late Tuesday, there hadn't been any concrete plans for the Patriots to meet with the Brady camp during the combine. That was a huge story today, and everybody's deciding, can you take that to the bank this early in the process? And I think because of the history between Brady and Belichick, it just feels icy, you know? It doesn't feel like a team with this much history would feel so estranged from each other. So I'm taking these reports to the bank. That's my expectation now when free agency starts. I think it's an incredible risk from Tom Brady. I guess you could say, well, at the end of the day, they're not going to remember those last couple of years as much. Yeah, but we will. We will remember them.
Yeah, I do. I remember Johnny Unitas playing in 1973 with the San Diego Chargers at the time. Yeah. I remember Tony Dorsett playing with the Denver Broncos.
Weird.
As a kid, yeah, it's weird to see somebody so dedicated to your team and then they go wear another jersey. It's tough.
To me, I remember him as such an afterthought that I would tell Brady, yeah, go. I remember Brett Favre as a Packer. Sure, yeah. He touched with the Jets and played with the Vikings, but he was a Packer. I remember him
with the Vikings doing the pants on the ground dance after that big divisional round win. Pants on the ground. It was one of the great cuts of the sports decade with him telling his guys, I promised him if we win, I'd do it. And then he did the pants on the ground dance.
Like Emmitt, to me, Emmitt didn't tarnish anything by going to play for the Cardinals.
No, I don't think you tarnish much. It's just weird.
Yeah.
You know, and from my personal perspective, I don't think he's got much of a chance to be successful. But I think it just goes to that part in the competitive athlete's mind. They can't walk away until everybody tells them you're done. It's very, very rare that somebody can walk away until there's no legitimate job offers remaining.
I'd like to see Tom Brady, though, do play for the Raiders just because he's a California guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see if John could get something out of him.
That would be fun. You know, and if I tell you what, if he goes out there and is successful, a lot of people will be pulling for him.
Sure.
Okay, there is an interesting topic here that applies for sports here. That three of the country's biggest ticket sellers have told a congressional committee that they would support federal mandate to disclose all in-ticket prices, meaning ticketing fees would be revealed up front to fans instead of only after a fan has entered personal information, the current industry-wide practice. It's just an interesting story that I don't think maybe we're in touch with because we've been using press passes for so long. A lot of fans are frustrated by this. You're like, okay, cool, $40 for a ticket to go see the Mavs. I'll sit in the upper level. And you start punching through and you've entered all your info and you're getting ready to will call and you hit the button and it goes $62 a ticket.
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell? It's more than a 50% markup on these bad boys. So apparently it's made its way to Congress now, where they are having congressional committee hearings about this, and all three of the major ticket brokers, this is good news for sports fans, all three of the major ticket brokers are like, we'll agree to it as long as everybody's going to agree to it. But you don't want to have we'll do it.
And you're like, yeah, right up front, 62. And they go to another site and it's like, $40.
Yeah.
Like, wait, I'm losing now.
Yeah. So there's not going to be any opportunity to continue to scam you in that regard. Yeah, the consumers' rights groups, they're all over it here. They're looking out for you. Appreciate that. Amy Howe, Ticketmaster's chief operating officer, tells the House Committee on Energy and Commerce that the total ticket price should be disclosed from the outset, not at the end of the purchase, and that there should be robust enforcement on this requirement.
It's kind of dumb that all these common sense things take acts of Congress. It's like, hey, what about just telling me how much this is going to cost me?
Just reminds me how much I've lived in a bubble.
Yeah.
People will actually argue that corporations should be empowered to sort of do, false advertising. No, they should be empowered to do false advertising. Yeah. The buyer should beware because we have to encourage profit, you know, because that profit is what enriches and makes the Wall Street go, woohoo, yeah, we're rich. You know?
Could use some Wall Street boost right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we do need some of that, yeah. Right? So you start talking about these things while you're watching your account go lower.
More hidden fees.
And maybe you're like, hey, buyer beware sounds kind of good right now. Now that I'm looking at this portfolio over here, that's a big red down arrow.
Business is stupid.
Yeah. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. We're not stupid.
Nope.
We're an acquired taste here, local sports broadcast entity for you. Now, of course, added Brian Broaddus, about to finish our second full week with Broaddus in the mix. It's been a pleasure.
Our tight ends are running slow right now. I'm going to tell you guys that. I've been watching. My guy Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic, he ran a 4.74. Nobody's gone under 4.73 so far in the tight end group as Purdue's Bryson Hopkins gets ready to run. And I'll take Bryson Hopkins on my team, by the way. I do like Bryson Hopkins. He's one of the real deal tight ends, actually blocks and runs routes. So, yeah, I'm just kind of locked in on watching these dudes in their tights run around, but none of them have been fast yet.
You need to find us a guy.
I'm going to find you a guy. Harrison Bryant's the guy.
He is the guy.
He's the guy.
Harrison what round? Bryant.
I bet he goes in the second round, yep. So maybe he's not the guy. But if you get him to the third round, then I'll take
him. No, he's a two.
Yeah, but I'm
trying. Go with your gut.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to get him to the third.
You can't get him to the third.
Because if the Cowboys take a tight end in the second round, do you know what's going to happen?
Well, you know, it's funny, though. The position that might happen, though, we've had all those safeties as highs, and all of a sudden then they all end up in the second round, you know, when the Cowboys pick. Maybe that's a position that goes – I think wide receiver is the one that's going to stretch.
Yeah,
that's the position I think is going to stretch.
We're going to get some actual fast people running here pretty soon, though. Wide receiver is going to get up there pretty soon.
Yeah, they're today, too. They are today. So we're running through the tight ends right now, and we are into the Ks. Dalton Keene.
There's Chris Carter talking to Joe Burrow, probably explaining to him how he's got to stretch his hands. You know, Carter loves to do that demonstration when he's on TV. You really got to massage your hands. Like, kid and I talk to the rookies. I say, you really got to take care of your hands, young man. You want to spend 15 years in this league like me, snatching balls out of the air?
I remember Jared Goff. He went to the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah.
He went to the Senior Bowl, and they measured his hand, and people were like, oh, it's too small. Didn't meet the threshold.
Yeah.
And then he got to the combine, and it was bigger.
Chris Carter had talked to him, dude. He's the expert on this stuff.
Yeah, he had spent that time stretching out, pinky to thumb.
What's the thing I always taught you about the 40-yard dash if you liked a player?
I got off to a bad start.
No. Time him at 38. If you really like a player, don't get him at 40. Get him at 38.
yeah.
We'll fix that. Bad 40 time, I'll get you at 38. We'll fix that.
You have the official times in front of you from the league where it's like, you ran a 4.74, and you're like, but I had him 4.6 flat.
Yeah, so he's my guy. Wait a minute, I timed him at 4.6. He's 4.74. No, I had him at 4.6.
You guys got it all wrong.
We're going to draft this cat. Get ready.
Love it.
Michael Lombardi wrote about pretty much just that today.
Absolutely.
Huh? Brian was... talking to me about it before the show. He wrote about how this is
bias season.
Where it's like you'll go in and think something about a player and you'll look for other people who like that player. Yeah. And it's like, bam, confirmed. He's awesome. Yeah. And like anybody who disagrees with you, you're kind of not trying to hear that guy. And
you're trying to manipulate the numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do that on you.
Convince your GM that the computers at the combine were off.
Oh, yeah. You guys can't time.
It was right for every player there but him.
Yeah.
For him, there was something weird. He stumbled out of the gate. They're like, well, we have the video, and he didn't stumble. And you're like, well, it wasn't a clean start, and I think they caught a hand coming up or something. Clock started early on him.
Yeah. Nice.
Tough break for him.
Any notable fibs from your past, Brian?
Oh, we had a few, but I was trying to think. The wide receiver that played at Florida State, that Bolden, Anquan Bolden.
Ran 4.7.
Yeah, he ran 4.7, and I remember, like, you guys could throw that guy the second, third round all you want. That's a first-round player. I don't care what you guys say. It was. You just argue with people. You're like, put him wherever you want. He's not, he's going to be a great player.
Incredible for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And never was fast.
Never was.
But he can't run, Brian. We're not taking this guy. He can't run.
He's got a drinking problem.
I know we got Fish coming up. What do you think about the Cowboys not scoring in the first quarter in 2019, Brian? Is that just a random thing that's going to fix itself? Was that a first-year OC?
I wonder if that was a play caller,
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a play caller in the first 15, you start dealing with plays and – They had some odd three and outs.
You're supposed to be good on your scripted plays, supposed to fall apart, but they had to get past their scripted plays and then start playing offense.
Got to the point of play defense first, please, defer.
Yes.
That was one of the most interesting things about last year to me. It's like if you just fix the first quarter, you're not building yourself these, massive disadvantages that you have to try to come back from. I think everything could be different if they would just go into the game, the way they picked up in the second quarter.
No script. Just go in and go with your gut, Kellen.
Okay. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. And as I mentioned, Mike Fisher is coming up next. Double insider. What does he think about the way Luka and Porzingis have been combining to dominate? And is that the new expected normal for MFFLs moving forward? It's next in the nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Mike Fisher said to join us. We just had a fast 40 time. Albert Uwikuwe-Bunam, Missouri tight end, flying.
Well, I'm so proud of you, General.
Albert O. Oh, yeah.
I missed your Big 12, you know. Been established for a long time.
Well, they're in the SEC now. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he's flying. The tight ends are running. What was his time anyway?
4.49.
4.49 from a tight end.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. And now small school man Adam Troutman out of Dayton is getting ready to run his. He will be a fairly highly drafted player
as
well.
That's a good start.
I don't think that was a good start, Brian.
No, oh, that was
4.79's okay. Sorry, this is terrible radio. Here's Gavin.
All right, segments brought to you by Sewell Automotive, brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss soda, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Mike Fisher, at Fish Sports on Twitter. How the heck are you, Fish?
Yeah, play-by-play of 40-yard dash, 40-yard dash. That's tough. That's tough radio right there.
Well, let me tell you a secret. We still put you on every day, Fish.
We can knock you off very easily and do 320 here of combine talk and be just fine.
If you want to fill a segment, talk about my 40 while it's going on, because it would probably take the entire segment for me to run.
Yeah, mine too, unless you got hydrocodone in your pocket.
Okay, so Mike McCarthy meets with meets on the podium yesterday and then does a kind of a walk-off and then goes to lunch with the DFW media. And tucked into all that, I just thought were some fascinating things about how the Cowboys not only will do their business under McCarthy, but how they did it previously. And it's great to have the scouting minds, well, all three of you guys, the scouting minds, to try to talk about traits. Because McCarthy... maybe not fully by name saying TJ Watt versus Taco Charlton, but he certainly talked about the philosophy and did mention Rod Marinelli about how Rod liked to fit, you know, certain guys into the certain scheme and all that kind of stuff. And his big quote on this is basically, if you're a good football player, you can play for me. So I want to go back to the T.J. Watt, Taco Charlton, Chidi Awuzie thing and just see, did the Cowboys screw it up because they didn't pick good enough players, or did they screw it up because their philosophy is screwed up to start with?
Gentlemen?
Because their philosophy was screwed up to start with.
Okay, I think that. I remember applauding them because they had come up with that plan that, hey, there's plenty of cornerbacks. Let's do that later. We need a pass rusher, and you know how I feel about drafting for need. But you know, they certainly had a plan that was well considered. Then they executed it, and they were right about, hey, we can get a defensive end up here and get plenty of cornerbacks later. And then Cheeto, of course, and Moore came later. But is it because they locked themselves into our defensive ends have to look this way?
Yeah, I think they honestly got worked because they were going to pick Tack McKinley. I think they got stuck there. Atlanta traded up in front of them, and they were content to sit there. And not that Tack McKinley, has been great, but it is one of those things where they had their heart set on a guy, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, okay, who's the next best defensive end on that board? And I think that's what got him stuck.
Okay, and then Brian, the traits thing caused them to decide, or to let Rod Marinelli drive the decision to say that T.J. Watt isn't really a defensive end for us.
Will McClay said he will take the blame for that.
I tried to defend
the scouting department. I'm trying to defend my brothers and sisters. And they to a man and lady go, don't do that. And Will takes the, he says, I'll wear that one. That's Will McClay.
And Jason Garrett will also say that was a consensus. So nobody wants to individually throw another individual under the bus, but it was I think we can agree it was Marinelli driven.
Well, Mike just threw Marinelli under the bus because obviously something's going on there. I mean, someone's telling him in the organization, well, why didn't you pick Watt? You know? And he's kind of saying, well, Rod liked this guy and that guy, but to a person, the scouting department told me they wear that one.
Could that be a respect for Rod or
no? If you're gonna draft the good ones,
sure,
you might as well take the heat for the bad ones too.
I like that.
Yeah,
ownership.
Okay, so where do we think they had T.J. Watt on their board relative to Taco Charlton?
Not at that spot. They probably thought he was an outside linebacker.
Okay, but that's where we get into what you for a long time have called window dressing your board.
Well, no, they thought it was another position. They weren't drafting an outside linebacker. They were drafting a defensive end.
But then you're screwed up your board because you're creating your board based on what you need.
They drafted what they needed. They drafted what they needed. They didn't need an outside linebacker.
But that's what they thought.
They didn't think an outside linebacker could come to the NFL and play defensive end, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Was that a mistake?
Yeah. I mean, well, I think Mike's point is he's trying to say, if you're a good enough football player, you could play for me.
Yeah.
That's what Mike McCarthy, absolutely. Is that what we're trying to do here, Fish?
And I'm saying the same thing, that T.J. Watt, first of all, if they thought T.J. Watt was a better football player than Taco Charlton, he should have been higher on the board. If he thought he was inferior to Taco Charlton, not by a position, but as a football player, then they were okay. They were wrong. But they took the higher-rated player in Taco over TJ.
They misevaluated him as a player they didn't think he could play defensive end. That's the misevaluation.
Okay, but somewhere on their board, they had a linebacker.
They did. Right? They did.
And they had him ranked over a defensive end because he was a better football player. Why didn't they rank TJ Watt as a better football player than Taco Charlton, regardless of position? Even if it was a running back or a wide receiver, what difference does it make? He should have been ranked higher if he's a better football player.
Wouldn't have been harder to see that, would it? Turn on the college games. This guy's really good. That guy's just okay.
To my layman eye, yes, TJ Watt looked like a real playmaker, and Taco looked like a project. So now we get into traits going forward. And I know that you guys have discussed Antoine Winfield Jr., son of Antoine Winfield, who you probably saw a lot of, Brian Broaddus, right?
I did. His old man could play ball.
Viking?
Okay.
Very good, General. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
I think he played in the NFL for 14 years.
He played a long time, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about traits. Here comes Junior, and he's 5'9", right? And that's a small safety. But his dad was 5'9"?
That was a corner.
Right, but his dad today, certainly under the previous administration, we'll see about this one, including Will McClay. Actually, Will McClay likes long cornerbacks too, just like Chris Richard did. So are we going to ignore our traits and just pick a player like Antoine Winfield Jr.? How about in free agency? There's old snacks out there. And Brian, you and I have done this research on Cowboys scouting department and fat defensive tackles for years. They say no every time. Every time a fat defensive tackle comes up free, no matter what, the answer is always no, because they don't. And I don't, again, is this Marinelli, scouting department, or both? They don't like the idea of a one technique that it just plugs up the run. Historically here, they want a guy with three technique skill that can get upfield, that can run, that can jump, that has long arms, athleticism. He can dunk. Snacks is 6'2", 350. He probably can't dunk. But can he play? And I ask you, Brian Broaddus, will they change the philosophy? And I ask you, Jeff Kavanaugh, should they?
He can play. I'll pick Antoine Winfield. Yeah. He's
about snacks
and snacks. Like I'll take snacks. Yeah. If the dollar amount is right, I will 100% take the good players.
Okay. Brian, you can confirm what I'm saying. Generally speaking, the last handful of years here, that kind of player is not attractive then.
No, they did not want to pay for a one technique. They just didn't want to do it. That, you know, and snacks is a guy when it was with the Giants or the Lions. I mean, he made money. He got an extension when he was with the Lions.
Right, $11 million.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah.
So you end up with a try-hard guy in Antoine Woods who's thick, but he's small and thick. He's not anything like the 350-pound guy. So I'm interested to see if the organization really backs up what McCarthy is suggesting here, which is that, hey, we don't care about traits as much as we just care about if you're a football player. We'll see. We'll see if you draft a cornerback who's not long. We'll see if you draft a defensive tackle who's fat. We'll see if all your defensive ends keep looking like, build-wise, Taco Charlton. Because I guess the biggest point here is that wasn't just Rod Marinelli. This organization, collectively, including Will McClay, Stephen Jones and the rest, Jason Garrett, have made these kind of decisions. Stephen the other day joked, oh, the poor old safety position, poor safety position around here, never gets any help. It's the, you know, it's the wicked stepchild or whatever. But that's an organizational decision that they've made to you got to give somewhere. You can't max out 53 positions.
Yeah.
So unless Jamal Adams comes along, Earl Thomas comes along, maybe different. But otherwise, safety is one of those positions we're going to give in on. We'll see if that changes too.
I hear you, Fish, man. The traits thing, it boxes you in, prevents you from seeing good players. And I can only hope it was the coaching staff and not the people who are still here that were the driving force on that one. But you're right. We'll see. How about Quinn versus Byron and defenses get you to the championships? What were your takeaways there? Then we'll let you go.
Okay, that quote from McCarthy, I think that's a beauty. I'm trying to figure out if it's true. It's going to be that's very quotable. Defenses get you to the championship, but quarterbacks win the championship. That's an awesome quote. I don't know if it's true. Who says? Why?
Well, you know, I think he does have a point that most Super Bowl teams have top 10 defenses, and most Super Bowl winners are the MVP type of quarterbacks. You know, the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. So I would say yes, and I think he paints a pretty daunting picture of what it takes. You know, Jerry Jones has been saying it's hard for a long, long time. But, yeah, to have a top 10 defense and a quarterback that can take you there, it's a difficult thing to pull off.
So difficult that when you put it that way, Gavin, I'm not sure the 2020 Cowboys have that. I'm not sure they have either one of that.
Hey, you know, every contender has to have a great offseason, right? So one great offseason, you'll have it, just like, you know, everybody else out there.
All right, and then finally, the Byron Jones argument, what's his value? Do the Cowboys not understand? I think that the more you kind of just have your ear to the ground on this, they're starting to elevate the idea of Robert Quinn as maybe their third most important free agent. Dak, of course, first, Amari Cooper second, and then the elevation of Robert Quinn right alongside Byron Jones. I don't know, you know, Robert Quinn at $12 million or Byron Jones at $15 million, I tend to think that they might lean towards the pass rusher.
Good stuff, Fish. We'll catch up with you. Oh, no. Yeah, we'll catch up with you tomorrow, man. Have a good one.
All right, boys. Thank you.
There he goes. He's at Fish Sports with us every day at 3:20 in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, Byron Jones or Robert Quinn, I don't know. I'd be going with the younger guy. The steroid thing or the performance-enhancing thing with Robert, that sketches me out. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you get suspended, and then you come back and you play a younger version of yourself. You hadn't been that effective as a pass rusher on a sack-per-snap basis.
You were excited about that, though.
I was.
You thought he made the right decision.
He did make the right decision, but I don't know if he's going to make the right decision again.
Was this something due to medication, though?
So he said their story is,
okay,
I was getting medication for something else, and whoever the pharmacist was
dropped something else in on me.
Must have accidentally, from their prior prescription they filled, gotten some of it into my medication.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah, it's a medication that would be like a masking agent so to help you take tests and all that. And I was wrong on Nelly Cruz with this same theory. I said Nelly's been roiding, end of his contract. I don't know how much I can trust the 35 home runs per game. He goes to Seattle and balls out for the next like 6 years.
No question.
He's still crushing it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a bad theory, but it would make me a little bit nervous that an older guy had one of his best years in a while after getting suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. That might be a tiebreaker for me, even though I really like the player. And, you know, 3 years and $30 million is probably pretty fair for a guy like that.
Yeah, but he got in a good scheme fit here too, though. They play him in that wide technique and let him go. That's where he can play. Play him in that odd front. It's hard for him.
What do you guys think about the traits thing Fish was talking about? Are we casting that off and going more for a good player? McCarthy's saying that a lot.
I'll take him at his word for now.
I think so. I think Mike will have an influence, but I think he'll also let these scouts do it. But, again, I'm going to tell you, they'll wear the one about, you know, about Tristan Hill and Taco and those guys. They'll wear that one.
Okay. FC Dallas opener is Saturday at 5 up there in Frisco. They're hosting Philadelphia. You can still get some tickets available up there at on the team website, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you at plenty of those games this season. Okay. Baseball stuff with us time. Why is it so hard to decide who's pitching on opening day? The Rangers' big decision there is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Jerry Jones talking with reporters. We have a breaking news situation powered by Radio.com and brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, it Ooh. Is.
Jeff's a big fan of that 5-Hour Energy, man. I've never seen anybody go at it that hard.
Tell you what. Whew. Delicious.
It's better than the Red Bulls.
It's mm-hmm. like...
I don't mean to start a war, but it is better than the Red Bulls. It's healthier.
No war here.
You take good poos.
All righty. Oh, added yeah. benefits.
Yeah, that's a good benefit for you, man. What does your poo say about you?
Well, yeah, never mind about that.
Yeah.
I had a problem this morning, actually.
Yeah.
Tough spot there for Jeff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jerry on the bus, though. Let's give you some of the highlights. He's talking a lot about the CBA and what it means for the Cowboys. Segment's brought to you by state-of-the-art weight loss, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call Frankel & Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. According to Todd Archer here, I'll just go over some of the highlights here for what we're seeing on Twitter. Jerry acknowledges the new CBA would not be best for the Cowboys because of losing the ability to tag Dak and Amari, but said the agreement's too good to pass up because of the long-term implications. It's critical we recognize where we are with timing, Jones said in reference to future issues pertaining to ratings, economy, and other factors. He mentioned the challenge he's faced 31 years ago when he bought the team, but how it worked out for the long term. So he's talking about the chance to get a TV deal done and to, you know, enrich the league in a massive way. It's interesting. He's brilliant at framing the league's desires as they're good for everybody. Oh, players, this is so good for you. Clearly you see it this way. We got to get this deal done, right? Where if I'm the players, I'm thinking, yeah, that's great from the business perspective, but I'm just worried about my 2 or 3 years in my individual career. So I'm thinking if I'm the players right now, this offer is good. What are they going to say in a week? Because the owners hate doing stuff early, and now they're doing stuff early. This means they're anxious, they're eager to get something done, and I'm going, guys, now is the time for us to be greedy. The next time, if the timing is right for them, they're going to try to pile drive us. So let's bank this one. Our official internal word, hush, we're taking this in 10 days. But let's try to make them nervous between now and then. That's how I'd be attacking this.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I if I was a players, I would go for more.
Yeah.
I would absolutely go for more. And I would and Jerry talked about it in general. You brought up the TV deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's making the economy is part of it, the TV deal. That's huge. That's what the
players positioned that's really
where
the, well.
That's where these owners make their money is on these television deals. And the fact that if they have to give back money because of a failure to live up to the contract, that's terrifying to them.
I mean, the economy is booming, and the political draw from those stations isn't as strong right now as it's going to be. You know, and just from being in the broadcast business, I can tell you when the economy crashes, the first thing businesses look at is their advertising budgets.
Absolutely.
Like, we got to get bare bones in a hurry. So if the NFL has their hand out in a place like that, boy, that deal ain't going to look too good.
Yeah.
So players, owners all have a strong vested interest right now. The owners have the most to lose, though, because, you know, they're talking billions and billions of dollars, and players are talking about a couple of $100,000 for the rank and file players.
Yeah, but owners, we talked about this, can survive that, can't they? That's why they're billionaires.
Yeah.
You know, they can survive, you know, that kind of a taking that kind of a hit. But you're right about the rank and file. And that's why this thing should pass, because the rank and file will say, oh, extra $100,000 for me. That's dinner at St. Elmo's for Jerry and the scouts.
I mean, if I'm a guy, I'm going around and I'm talking, I'm saying, you know those guys, Aaron Rodgers and Maurkice Pouncey and Russell Wilson, who said things yesterday? They have good points. You guys have lives that need to be taken care of. But let's see if we can just be patient for a little bit longer. Anyway, some more stuff from Jerry Jones. From the account of John Machota here, he tweeted a great quote from Jerry. I'm probably on my last contract.
Oh, Jerry.
I'm a now man. But he adds that he feels strongly about the future of the NFL. This is the time for us to go on the latest CBA proposal.
Jerry, don't give up on modern medicine, man.
Yeah.
Saying 10 years is it.
I mean, you do have unlimited money, and there's modern medicine. You know, it could be like the guy in that Wolverine's origin movie, you know? You just got to figure out how to take...
Miss that one.
The youth from people, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Whoa. It's like a, you know, comic book storyline.
If Jerry wanted to buy a decade from you, how much would it cost?
Oh, a decade. You could get a decade right now, assuming I have more than a decade left to live. Okay.
Yes,
can I get that confirmed? Because
yes.
I don't want to have the lights immediately go out.
Yeah, you've got at least 35 to go.
Okay.
And he wants to buy 10 of them.
Yeah, we did that for $1 billion.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah,
that's
a million. I was thinking a mil a year or something, but all right.
That's a big number.
Yeah, well, we're negotiating.
Okay,
that's my real number.
Shoot for the stars.
Right.
Preliminary.
Ask for the moon and settle for a rock that's sitting next door. What else do we have that's been tweeted? Jerry Jones on no long. Okay, we got that one out. How about I come over here to David Hellman because he's doing a nice job of giving us a different menu here of stuff. Jerry Jones is talking CBA at the Combine. And he said the challenge to keep Dak and Amari without two tackles. Why do I keep finding the same one?
Yeah, what are you doing, Gavin?
January got a little hectic, but I just wanted y'all to know I followed through. This is from David Hellman. He is at the University of Texas, El Paso, raising money. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to the baseball stuff.
What is happening?
I'm trying to find new tweets of Jerry stuff.
How about Nick Eatman?
Can I go
with Nick Eatman there?
You guys can help too.
Yeah, what is UTEP?
Well, this is Nick
Eatman. That was Hellman's pinned tweet.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Nick Eatman talking about Dak, you know, and this is Jerry. And he said, if there's any doubt at all about Dak not being with the Cowboys quarterback of the future, Jerry Jones compared it to his own son. It's just the same as I feel for Steven. There's no going forward. There's no not going forward. So we'll have to figure it out. This is a deal that I'm ultimately have to do. I've got to make it fit.
Good stuff. As Jerry
Steven,
Jones.
Steven, what do we got? Save us.
This
quickly.
Makes it all so weird that the deal isn't already done. We never had a problem with Romo. There was nothing drawn out. He's the quarterback. You get the deal done and you move forward.
Yeah.
But this one, it's like, hard lines in the sand everywhere.
I think maybe the most fair I could be with them is they didn't know the season was going to be that good. I mean, 4,900 yards, all of the big throws downfield. They were thinking, okay, Dak might have a better year, but he added like 30% to his previous season's total for
1,400 yards.
He went off.
Yeah.
I mean, so at that point, they were thinking 33rd or 34 is going to get it done at the end of the year. And then he went out there and did something that's going to require a whole nother evaluation here.
But then why did they let it get to that point then? If you're going to bet, if you're going to say, okay, let's see if this kid can do it.
Well,
and then he delivers, and then now you're like.
They offered the Goff money, right, at $33 million per year.
Sure.
APY. And I guess the guarantee, though, has been under what those guys got. They got 110 and 108.
Sure.
And I guess the Cowboys haven't even gone to 105 on the total guarantees yet. Yeah, I just think it goes to kind of what you've been saying where maybe Jerry poked his head in there a half dozen times and said, are you sure that's our guy? And last September, when their last offer was going on the table, they still hadn't been completely sold. But the season that he put up, you know, it sounds like it sold them. And they recognize they don't want to let that happen again. I mean, we go out here and have this happen again. We could be at 40. So you kind of have to take your medicine now.
Get it done.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We'll have more highlights of Jerry Jones talking on the bus with you. It's time for some baseball stuff with us as we are now a month away from the Rangers opener, March 27th, 2020, up there in Seattle. The game will be here at 3 o'clock on the Fan.
Still throws me off that we're playing baseball in March.
Yeah.
It is kind of weird. Was there a reason for that or just had an odd calendar drop?
I don't know.
It is leap year, right?
They did last year, too, though. I think they started in March. It just creeps me out.
Yeah.
We're supposed to open on April 1st. Stop playing around.
Amongst the, developing storylines, though, everybody's favorite overgrown minor leaguer is back. Tim Dillard.
Overgrown minor leaguer.
Yeah, he's that clubhouse comedian and bit master.
Okay.
Setting up to do all kinds of videos.
Yep.
He does songs.
Yep.
He got a 1-2-3 inning the other night. And he says his dream is still to pitch in the big leagues.
Well, it's not going to happen.
No.
But we're excited to have you.
His career is ending. So he's at this phase where the Rangers are kind of like, hey, we want to hire you to be a mentor and be a guy that kind of hangs out and does, what do they call that, a culture coach?
I guess. We want to hire you to come to spring training every year and have a great time.
Yes. So he says when the spring training is over, he's up for whatever the team wants him to do. But his main mission is to try to help young players figure out how to go through life in the bigs. He says when you see a young guy going through something that I went through, I want to help him. I don't want them to have a bad season like I did or a bad month. If I can save them a bad month or a bad season or even a bad week, I think that's a win. So
but
it looks
I'm also
like,
willing to be the mascot if that's what they need.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Whatever you need him to do. I think he's going to pick up. This is perfect timing for Tim Dillard. If he had been coming to the end of his career in any other era, they'd be like, okay, go sell stuff. You got a great personality. I'm sure you're going to be selling cars. Maybe you can even own a dealership someday, Tim Dillard. You could be former big leaguer Tim Dillard selling Hondas over there, Fords, mm-hmm. whatever.
I think you'd go Dodge with someone, Dillard. Yeah. I think you'd go Dillard's Dodge.
It's a good fit right there.
Yeah.
Sounds rugged and rural and stuff. but now, I mean, the Patriots have had culture coaches. It's like, hey, what's your job? Well, you know, I talked to the players. See if anything's going on. The Cowboys just hired a guy like this, right? The Cowboys,
yeah.
And they
yeah.
named him like assistant head coach.
Yeah.
He's just there to be cool and to explain, oh, yeah, man, I know you're having a hard time. And, oh, those people on social media are mean, aren't they?
I think that job's important.
I want that job.
I actually think that job is really important.
I do too.
And I think that it's awesome that sports teams are adding it. So hopefully the one that the Cowboys brought in is a badass.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get guys feeling relaxed and like, rolling with the punches and overcoming you know how you can get in a bad funk, be a couple weeks, next thing you know your team's on a slide just because the guy's not mentally tough enough to have people yelling at him on social media. Okay, good problem for the Rangers to have though. In surprise, Chris Woodward doesn't know who's going to be the opening day starter at this point. Minor, Lynn, Kluber, who's it going to be is the question. My opinion, why is it not clearly Minor? If I'm Minor, I'm feeling disrespected right now, Jeff. I know. Kluber's been an MVP or a Cy Young candidate and all that, but come on.
I agree, and I think that's why it's worth watching what goes on in spring training. It's been great listening to Mike talking about Kluber, where he's like his expectations are pretty high for him, and that, hey, maybe he could return to the guy that he was. But if as you're watching him through spring and you're getting 3 weeks from the season and he's still not touching 94 miles an hour and he's topping out at 91 – then Woody probably looks at that and goes, hey, Mike Minor, good news. You earned it.
Yeah.
But if Kluber does seem like he's back to form and he's sitting between 91 to 94, 92 to 95, and you're like, oh, we might have a Cy Young contender right here, then I could see throwing him opening day, but I do think that there's something to reward your guy.
He was
already here, and he had a great year. Run Mike Minor out there, but I get it. If Kluber looks like he's got a chance to get back to what he once was, then you want to maximize the number of time he takes the ball. Why not do it on opening day?
If he blows you away and you're like, holy crap, he's going to be back, and you're calling that kind of thing and thinking we want to lay the groundwork that this guy knows we love him, for a future contract or something like that. But I don't know. For me, it would be a clear choice for Minor.
It's always so weird to me that people talk about like the number of games, like NBA too, right? And NHL. It's like, well, there's 82, whatever. It's not like one really matters. It's like, right, unless you're in the wild card hunt and with one game to go, you have to win.
Yeah.
So whoever you think is the better pitcher, that might work out that they get one more start. So get them out there.
Globe Life Field tweeted yesterday. They sent out a selfie
How'd they do that?
Field turf being installed. Not quite sure.
AI.
Very sophisticated operation out there. The first time to see the field in action is going to be March 23rd. They'll have an exhibition game against the Cardinals. That's a Monday game. I'm looking forward to getting in there and checking it out. Eric Nadell talking about how it's got steeper bleachers or
closer seating to the field, basically, right?
So like they were dropped in is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I want to be in the ones that are hanging from the roof.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Just a swing up there in the top row?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I take
the elevator up to the roof and walk on down.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in seeing. It's gonna be amazing.
I think you get on the roof if you have the top seats, and when they open it, you just hop off when it's almost open into your seat.
Perfect. Just the elevator down. Okay, there you have it. Baseball stuff with us. Still watching this Jerry Jones stuff come in. We'll get organized on that. I'll get you the highlights a little bit later on. Maybe by the 5 o'clock, it'll be all sorted.
I'd like to hear about UTEP.
Okay. Let's go around the NBA. Great piece with Texas Legends coach breaking down what has made the Mavericks offense so unstoppable. That's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.